is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Tropical storm Idalia is expected to become a major hurricane before hitting Florida Wednesday. WFOR-TV's Larry Seward.
On Florida's west coast, residents bracing for Idalia are gassing up and loading their cars with sandbags and other essentials.
We're prepping and hoping for the best.
I pulled everything out from my hurricane kit with my lights, all my extra batteries, stuff for my kid. I got some non-perishable food items, lots of water.
Definitely going to put the panels up, cover up all the windows, probably have a bunch of people over because I have the generator.
Larry Seward, CBS News, Holiday, Florida.
Two people have died in a rescue helicopter crash near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It slammed into a small apartment building. WFOR-TV's Joan Murray.
When that chopper went into the building, there was an explosion. One woman was trapped. She died. The chopper pilot was killed. Two other people within the chopper did manage to escape. They were taken to the hospital. Two other people who were in that apartment building in another unit managed to escape as well.
A weekend shooting in Jacksonville, Florida is being investigated as a hate crime. Three black people were killed by a white gunman at a Dollar General store. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez.
The three victims are 52-year-old Angela Carr, 19-year-old A.J. Laguerre, and 29-year-old Gerald Gallion, who had a 4-year-old daughter.
It's not fair.
LaTiffany Gallion is the victim's sister.
He was a loving guy.
A loving guy.
He was a devoted father. He'd do anything for his daughter.
A faculty member is shot and killed in a University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill lab building. A suspect is in custody. A University of South Carolina student was shot and killed when he apparently tried to get into the wrong house near the campus in Columbia. Sophomore Nicholas D'Onofrio was from Madison, Connecticut. Justin Doucette lives there.
This is a real small community. It's very sad. Very, very sad. It's like you can feel it in the air. It's like somber almost, you know. It's a very tight community.
A new study out of Brazil finds that laughter can improve heart health. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports they had people who had previously been diagnosed with coronary artery disease watch funny or serious shows.
They found those who watched the comedies had a 10% advancement in the amount of oxygen the heart could pump into the body, as well as an improvement in their arteries' ability to expand. It's believed that laughter has this effect because it releases endorphins, which are needed to maintain healthy blood pressure.
How do Americans feel about Biden versus Trump round two? An Associated Press NORC poll found those surveyed say President Biden is old and confused, and they say that former President Trump is corrupt and dishonest. Stocks closed up on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ron had a tax problem he just couldn't handle on his own.
I owed the IRS taxes for over 5 years, but I didn't have any money to pay the taxes.
Those years cost him dearly.
Most of it was fees and interest. It was horrible.
Ron finally called in the pros.
I called Optima Tax Relief, and boy, am I happy I did.
The leading tax resolution firm, Optima, is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. They've resolved over $1 billion for their clients. Ron was overjoyed.
They settled my account with the IRS. I was ecstatic. They are a lifesaver. They are. I am so happy.
Take Ron's advice and call Optima now for a free consultation.
Yeah, don't do like I did and wait. Call Optima Tax Relief. Do it now. You'll be ecstatic like me.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends. A 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio. Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens. And Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
Prove that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Back for some. It's starting soon for others. And my question is, has bullying gotten worse, or are we just reporting it more? And that's not a problem if we are reporting it more. I don't think that's actually the issue, but I read a report. So the Boys and Girls Club of America did an annual survey, and they found that bullying in schools has shot up over the past 5 years. And I'm curious, because I do not have a child of school age yet. Greg Bach on the board also does not have school age children.
Nope.
And I also, like, Greg, were you bullied? Oh, God.
Yes.
Yes.
From a very...
Were you
very
physically, young. Both physically and mentally, like, no. Emotionally bullied?
No,
very... I feel like you, like, for people who do not know what Greg looks like, I feel like you'd be a hard person to physically bully if you were similar stature as a kid.
Wasn't this size when I was 8?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I was always tall, right? Yeah. Like, I've always been. I was always like at least the tallest girl, if not the tallest kid.
Yeah, I was bullied mostly. It was mostly verbal and mental. Very few times would they try to beat me up. I was always like a pudgy kid, then I was a tall kid, then I was a big tall kid, and. Very few times that people try to come at me physically. They just knew, mm-hmm. Let's go after his mental status. He, like, you know how, like, you know, the Death Star has that, like, that drainage hole in it that just, like, just happens to be the thing that will destroy it every time. Shot it every single time in there and just
nailed, like, it. Target bullseye every time.
Every single time. Just the rebel wins every single time. Yeah, from first grade until probably about, like, I'd probably say, like, early high school.
Early high school. Yeah. And so that's why I asked. Like, I don't know if I was ever bullied. I got kicked out of my group of girlfriends in, like, sixth grade, right? So it's like I had a group of girlfriends. All of a sudden, one day I showed up at school. They didn't want to be my friends anymore. And then they kind of bullied me. And there was the random, you know how you had to share textbooks? Like, in, like, middle school, at least for us. Like, we had the morning class was, you know, English and social studies. And then we swapped with the other class to have our science and math teacher in the afternoon. So we did that. So we shared books. So instead of all having our own books. And so I remember opening one of the books one day and someone had written something about me that it was, you know, Kristen Bry's a slut or something, like, you know, something middle school like. And
I give you credit. At least in sixth grade, you had friends.
Well, and that's the thing. And I had left my parochial school because I had felt like I didn't fit in there either. And I wasn't necessarily bullied there. I didn't feel like I had any friends. And so I don't remember necessarily being bullied, but certainly I was not scot-free as not having kids be mean to me at one point during childhood. And I don't like, and I'm not going to say it's a rite of passage, but I also feel like, especially physical bullying,
yeah,
I feel like there's such a lower threshold for that in schools now.
Oh, now
that
especially.
to see the rates and this survey from Boys and Girls Club say that it's only going up. Is it that it's actually going up, or it's just that kids are reporting it more?
I have to think that it might. So here's my thoughts on this, because I even though I hated my grade school and middle school time, is very painful. I'm thankful I had it then, because now, like, I don't know, as far as reporting going up, I think they're reporting it more, but there are also new avenues of bullying.
I mean
when I was young, like, the most that it could do to quote-unquote cyberbully you is call you on the phone. Now, like, kids are making up whole new Facebook accounts to go after kids, and that is terrifying. That is terrifying to me.
If you have thoughts on this, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Especially if you have grandkids or kids this age, or have more recent proximity to the issue, if you're a teacher, do you feel like bullying has changed since you were in school? Whether it's gotten worse, it's different. But I just think as the school year starts, this is interesting data. But it's also trying to put it in context, because, you know, it's like the classic, like, when it finally became okay to be left-handed.
Yeah.
Because for a really long time, like, nuns would, like, slap you with a ruler if you tried to use your left hand. And so, like, the rates of reporting of being left-handed were very low until it became okay. And then it's like, oh, look at all these left-handed people. And so, you know, like, has bullying rates always been bad? It just has not been reported.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of what I'm interested in hearing from people who either have kids right now or still just have thoughts on, like, what the atmosphere looks like. 844-967-2789. And so, because I do think in general, I think Vox had an article recently that was like, people don't know how to act in public anymore. And so when we think about what adults have been doing at concerts, like throwing things at artists or acting out on airplanes or, you know, all of this antisocial behavior, like, are we really, is that also feeding into this of, like, years of pandemic disruption and causing kids to, like, not know how to handle stress, like, be worse at problem solving, be worse at peer relationships. And, like, is this also another part, like, is the bullying, emotional, like, antisocial behavior also part of this out of the pandemic in the same way that we've seen it with adults?
I mean, I just have this feeling that if people are, like, post-pandemic acting out, it was always in them. I don't think that they were. I think we see more people being jackwads in public, and so somehow we think it's accepted. You know, it's like, I can throw this, I can do this, I can speak to this human being like they are nothing because I saw some lady on TikTok or Instagram do it, and that's how I feel. No, that's just, it's not, it's, and to me, and what's weird is that, like, and I don't like to use the word PTSD or traumatic or anything like that. That's for, you know, other discussions, but there is an inner thing inside me when I see people acting like that in public. Like, that's just another way of bullying, because you're just trying to get your way and do your thing without any sort of consequences whatsoever. And so when you act that way in public and we see it on the airwaves, it's like, you're just a low rent bully is what you are, because you just want to get away with things.
But that's my point. It's like, is there a connection there between stuff in schools and stuff with adults?
Are you mean, like, were these people bullied in school as kids, or?
No, I mean, in the same way that in the increase of the things that we're seeing of antisocial behavior in adults, mm-hmm. is that also correlated to an increase in bullying in schools compared, like, according to this survey?
I mean, that could very well be. Yeah. I mean, not being around kids a whole lot, I can't really tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm around adults more than anything else, and I see their actions and their you know, what they do in public. So, yeah, I mean, my, like you were saying before about the whole left-handed thing, my father was left-handed, went to Catholic school and got beaten with a ruler. And because of that, traumatic effects for him. Traumatic.
Well, I'm pretty sure my dad, because my dad, like, does both. Like, certain things he uses his left hand for, certain things he uses his right hand for. Like, I think, like, even sports, it's different. Writing, it's different. How he eats, like, eating. I think he eats with his left hand. But, like, yeah, I think if I'm getting this story correct, it was also due to Catholic school. Thank you, Catholic school. But here are some more of the stats that came out of that article. So 40% of child and teen respondents, and I should say that this 130,000 students between 9 and 18 year olds were surveyed for this report. So 40% of child and teen respondents said they were bullied on school campuses in the past year. 18% said they experienced cyberbullying. And a quote from Dorothy Espledge, who is the professor of education at University of North Carolina, kids have regressed in their social skills, ability to work with other kids, conflict management. They're a little bit more unregulated. And so at least for them, like, they've been doing this survey for years now. And by the numbers, so the numbers who said they were bullied on campus this year was 14 percentage points higher than 5 years ago before the COVID pandemic. So in 2019, it's 26%. This year, it's 40%. With a steady increase year over year. So I don't know. I guess the question is, has bullying gotten worse, actually, or are we just reporting it more? 844-967-2789. We got Karina on the phone.
Yes, we do. Karina, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Well, you know what? Bullying is a horrible thing. What is really happening in somebody's head that allow themselves more, you know, any way to make somebody else feel bad? I mean, you have to enjoy that because it's not something what would be to me a normal, enjoyable thing that I'll hurt somebody.
Well,
one, and two, what I want to say, and maybe it sounds silly because, you know, we all people, we have our own mind. We were given so many freedoms. But at the same time, look what we have in the country right now. We have a bigger bully bullying everybody, government, law, the justice system, people. Are threatening, constantly threatening judges, senators. I mean, the government officials and the females. When this is happening on such a high level, then the simple people who live their own lives every day getting an idea that if everybody driving high speed, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
So most likely, if there is 10 cars driving high speed, I'm probably not going to get caught. Or how come everybody else can do it and I can't? This is a herd mentality.
Yep.
And this is the worst of humanity. Worst of the humanity, because we're talking about, we hear that on the
unfortunately,
radio.
Karina, we are coming up against a break, so we got to let you go. But thank you as always for your call. If you have thoughts on this, has bullying gotten worse, or are we just reporting it more? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger.
Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bach.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 58 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77. A mix of clouds and sun. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 49. Upper 60s Wednesday. Turning warmer on Thursday with highs in the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're first. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
For your great work today, Matt, as usual. You know, I had called Mr. Johnson on the telephone. I don't even like to call him Senator Johnson anymore because he definitely is not my senator, and he's a criminal, in my personal biased opinion. And I asked him to please resign because we're getting sick of all the lies and the conspiracies and obstructions of justice and aiding and abetting. And you know, Matt, we have open meetings laws in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I think when you're going to have a meeting, especially when you're going to put together some fake electors or real electors, people know when that's going to happen. I mean, that's even as shady as it is, too. But the thing that I see is all of the stuff going on in the Congress really makes me upset watching this. You know, isn't it like interference in criminal prosecution, you know, and obstruction of justice? That'd be about 90 counts for Jim Jordan, wouldn't it, for all the BS they're doing in there and all of the political stuff that they're doing? I mean, I think we should start keeping notes and tracks of all the times that they're spreading rumors, trying to obstruct what's going on when the crime of the century has been aimed at us, the people, and our democracy. So I just had to throw that one at you, Matt. This is unbelievable. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's right. Before I go to the next caller, I just want to back up what Gene just said and tell you something else. If anybody out there in the Justice Department thinks that by laying off the fake electors, they'll be grateful, they'll breathe a sigh of relief, next time you run, they'll be nice to you, I want to disabuse you of that. Ron Johnson right now is saying he himself shouldn't be prosecuted. He's coming out saying the fake electors shouldn't be prosecuted and nobody who helped him should be. Who might that be? Well, that might be the guy that had the fake electors in his own pocket and try to get him to Mike Pence. And so they will immediately, the chutzpah, no, the boldness, they immediately do this. We cannot leave Fannie Willis and Jack Smith and I think it's Dana Nessel over in Michigan exposed. We have got to get prosecuting here in Wisconsin. They were fake electors. They didn't have any statement in the thing they submitted saying this is conditional if this and that. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, 4-3, had already said Biden's going to be certified. What are we waiting for? One of the lines, Bob of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Bob?
Well, I'm worried about these guys who would rather use their AR-15 than make a 988 call because they're about to commit suicide, because that's what they do. It's like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid final scene. You know, they're trying to go out in a blaze of glory or something, but it's the mental illness and the suicide intentionality that lies behind it. I think we need to remember all our friends and neighbors. If they show a sign of trouble, tell them about Tammy Baldwin's great idea, the 988 mental health sign. That's maybe saving a mass shooting or two, and that would be great.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bob. That's a good call. And right as we're speaking, an hour before you just went on the air, they're hunting down a guy at the University of North Carolina, the campus. That's about 750 acres. It's 3/4 of a kilometer across. And this character is on the loose. And they had the kids running out of class with their hands up and all this. You know, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. And obviously having a 988 number to call is great. A red flag law. There was a guy in Waukesha. There was a guy in Waukesha, I remember, who was mentally ill, and his father went down to the police and said, and this was about a year or two ago, and said, you got to do something. My son's mentally ill. He has a gun. And they said, well, nothing we can do. You know what he did? He drove down to Greene County, Monroe, and then he went over to Darlington in Lafayette County. And he went into a house, door was open, sat there. A couple came back, and I think maybe with one of their brothers or sisters, and he murdered all three. He didn't know them. He went into the house by accident. He was crazy. That can't be permitted to happen. And the Republican Party has opposed red flag laws. They will oppose any call-in number. They are simply milking that issue, and they're misrepresenting it to people. There are a lot of hunters in the Democratic Party. There are actually more guns in union halls than in country clubs. And there are also more combat medals in union halls than country clubs. Guys know how to shoot, but they don't want to go around shooting innocent people and shooting strangers, you see? That's got to be done. Excellent, excellent call. Appreciate it very, very much. Well, here's the deal. Trump and the others are going to be arraigned on September 6th in Georgia. That is the Fannie Willis case. That is the Fannie Willis case. This is great. September 6th, next week, they're going to be arraigned. The first one's going to come in at 9:30, 15-minute intervals, the last one at 3 p.m. Trump's going to be a busy guy, be a very, very busy guy. What he's going to be is he's going to be going to trial on March 4th on the Washington, D.C. case in Washington, D.C., and then this September 6th, next week, he's going to be going in, and he's going to be arraigned. What's an arraignment? He goes in, and they say, Mr. Trump, have you read the charges against you? If he says no, they'll read them. It'll take a long time. He'll say, yeah, I've read them. The lawyer will say, yeah, he's read them. How do you plead, Mr. Trump? He can plead guilty, not guilty, or keep silent. If he keeps silent, it's not contesting it, but they usually enter a not guilty plea for him anyway. They'll probably say, not guilty. Out he goes. This guy's running for president. Give me a break. I'm going to a break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Tropical Storm Idalia is threatening the Gulf Coast of Florida in a major way. It could strengthen to a hurricane, making landfall Wednesday. CBS's Christiane Benavides.
This is going to be the first major hurricane to hit Florida this year, and it's going to bring with it strong winds and life-threatening storm surge.
A sheriff's helicopter in Broward County, Florida, crashed into an apartment building Monday morning. Sheriff Gregory Tony tells us two people were killed.
A lady in her home died in this injury, in this tragedy. The second of which is one of my firefighters. We lost one of our captains today who was on board serving this community.
A college student was fatally shot by mistake.
A University of South Carolina student was shot and killed when he apparently tried to get into the wrong house near the campus in Columbia. 20-year-old sophomore Nicholas Donofrio was from Madison, Connecticut.
Our Jim Crisillo tells us no word yet if any charges will be filed. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Kurt of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Kurt, what's in your mind today?
I was listening to Tom Hartman, and he had Dean Obadala on, and I just sent you an email with the information. I would hope maybe you could post it on your business website. Dean put together a pre-written document to send to the Secretary of State to have Trump removed from the ballot based on the amendment. And I know I'm already sharing this with as many people I know. I agree with them. This needs to be done and push it into trial, into the court. Because I just don't see many options with the way Trump is being handled right now.
That's an excellent, excellent point. I'll look at your email and please continue to send it around. Let me give everybody a little context. The 14th Amendment, paragraph 3, there is a provision. It was passed after the Civil War. It says that anybody who took an oath of office to the United States, but then, and I mean an elected official, state or federal, and then turned around and was guilty of insurrection or rebellion, or aiding insurrection or rebellion, or aiding the enemies of the United States, may not hold any public office again, any office of trust. And obviously, some the Republicans say, well, that was only the Civil War. No, it wasn't the Civil War. I should say it's not only the Civil War. Andrew Johnson, remember Lincoln's vice president, was a Southerner. I think he's from Tennessee, and he was secretly pro-slavery. He maybe said he wasn't, but basically he was pro-South. And in those days, Congress would adjourn and not come back for 7 months. And they couldn't just come back on their own. They had to be called back by the president, or then they came back 7 months later if he didn't call them. Immediately, they asked Johnson to call them back because they were afraid. Remember, the Congress were abolitionists. They were Republicans, but they were abolitionists. In other words, in those days, the Democrats were the bad guys. The Republicans were the good guys. And they knew that Johnson would be up to some mischief. So what they did was, when they did get back, he tried to reinstate the Southerners in government and to slow everything down on Reconstruction. When they got in, they passed the 14th Amendment over his objection. And the 14th Amendment, they put in deliberately that nobody who had taken an oath of office could serve again if he'd been guilty of rebellion or insurrection. And what happened was, some of these states had already elected Confederates who were in rebellion but had taken an oath of office before. So that put an end to that. The other thing is, it's self-executing. It doesn't say a court has to decide it. Why is that? Because if there is an insurrection or a rebellion, and they manage to get in and get to the federal courts like they have here, for instance, they have Clarence Thomas in their pocket. They have Alito in their pocket. They have Gorsuch in their pocket. Those people could very well say, no, you can't do it for whatever reason. Well, I'll tell you what, it's self-executing. The Secretary of State in each state is the one that decides whether the name goes on the ballot. And what Curtis Madison is saying is that there's a letter going that we can send to the Secretaries of State, and I strongly recommend it go to Sarah Godlewski here, who's a very good person, and say, Sarah, don't certify him onto the ballot. Don't put him on the Wisconsin ballot for the election next April. What will that do? If he's not on the ballot, he's not going to get any delegates from Wisconsin, because we have a system here that each party can decide who gets their nomination or their so forth, but based on the election here in the state. In Wisconsin, it's winner take all for the Republicans. If Trump gets 38% of the vote, DeSantis gets 36%, and there's Nitz and Lice going all the way down the rest of the eight or nine dwarves, Trump gets all the delegates from Wisconsin in the Republican convention. If he's not on there, he gets none of them. And hopefully this would happen in Michigan, this would happen in Georgia, Pennsylvania, in the swing states. Now, they will sue. That's okay. It's a badge of honor. Sarah Godlewski, it's a badge of honor. They'll sue. Yes, then it goes on up through the court system. And yes, then Clarence Thomas and the other clowns in the Supreme Court who take money on the side and who are beyond the reach of the law may do whatever. But something's got to be done. And then I wouldn't obey whatever they said. The hell with them. This Supreme Court is crooked. They stripped us of our rights. 5-4, Citizens United, Clarence Thomas casting the deciding vote. They said that basically anything goes on money. After 100 years of statutes, Congresses, and Supreme Courts going the other way, 100 years. In Shelby County, this was right after the Senate had extended the Voting Rights Act until 2031, 95-0. 95-0. Supreme Court said 5-4 with Clarence Thomas in the majority. Senate's dumb. They don't know what they're doing. We're the Supreme Court. We're going to get rid of a lot of the Voting Rights Act. In Dobbs v. Mississippi, 5-4. 5-4. They said we're going to repeal Roe v. Wade. The states can do whatever they want. So now, at least in Texas and Oklahoma and other states, a mother whose life is threatened can't get care. Doctor says, can you afford to go to California or Illinois? She says, no, you know, I don't know, have a yard sale, do a GoFundMe. What the hell is going on here? My life's at stake, she says. And the Declaration of Independence says, I have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Doctor says, well, the Declaration of Independence isn't part of the Constitution. And that's true, except for one thing. When Abraham Lincoln said that the Declaration of Independence says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that applies to enslaved people and black people too, the Southerners said it's not part of the Constitution. The Constitution approves of slavery. The Constitution has slaves counted as 3/5 of a human being. George Washington owned slaves. James Madison owned slaves. So what are you doing, Lincoln? And Lincoln says, well, I've decided it's part of the Constitution. And it overrides the Constitution on slavery. And they go, are you a constitutional scholar? Did you go to school? He goes, no, I worked on the farm and I split wood and I read books at night. They laughed at him. They go, well, then you're dumb and you don't know what you're talking about. He says, what's your basis? He says, my basis is 1,000,000 bayonets and 10,000 cannons. That's my basis. Now, we don't want 1861 all over again. But who is the Supreme Court? 5-4, when Clarence Thomas has been on the take for 20 years, and a couple of the others have been on the take too, and Clarence Thomas's wife's been on the take, how do we sit by and let that court, a corrupt court, say, look, we can overturn anything the president or Congress does, but they can't overturn anything we do? And you go, okay, we're in the Constitution to say that. Well, technically it doesn't say that, but it's been going on for like 200 years, so we got to get along with the program. This is a constitutional crisis. So if Trump, if Sarah Godlewski and the other secretaries of state say we're not going to put him on the ballot, then the Republicans go to their convention, which is in Milwaukee in July, and Trump's not going to have any delegates from Wisconsin, I hope Michigan, Pennsylvania, and so on. Maybe another candidate has a shot. Then let's say that they certify to Sarah Godlewski, well, we're picking Trump anyway. Okay. Sarah Godlewski says, well, he took an oath of office to the United States and he violated it by the insurrection. I'm not putting him on the general election ballot. Then they go up to the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas and Alito and the rest will probably go his way, and then we have a decision to make. All that I'm getting at, you've got to understand the details of the constitutional crisis we're in. What I am getting at is let's do everything we can at this point to stand up for our Constitution, because the Supreme Court's not standing up for it, Trump's not standing up for it, and the Republican Party's not standing up for it. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, thanks for calling us on your mind today, Bill.
Actually heard you talking about what I called in for. I didn't listen to the show, so I beg your pardon if I'm being redundant. But you were talking about the Constitution, and specifically the 14th Amendment, Section 3, states that if you participate or aid and abet a domestic terrorist attack on the United States, you are no longer eligible for public office. And if you pair that with the office, the oath of office they took, where they said they were going to defend the U.S. from domestic terrorism, they broke their oath. So right. If we go to court and charge them with that, that means all these clowns, Jordan, Ron Johnson, all of them, should be given a choice. Now, I'm asking your opinion of resign or face prosecution. And if they resign, they can never participate in politics anymore. There's no ifs, ands, or buts on any of this. The law is clear. It's in the Constitution. What am I missing, Matt, or what is going to circumvent that part of the Constitution we believe in as Americans?
Yeah, no, good call. We had been talking about that a little bit. That's a great cherry on the sundae. Let me tell you two things. One is, we have an even more immediate remedy against Ron Johnson. He aided and abetted the fake electors and people that did that in Georgia, Michigan, and Washington, D.C. nationwide are being prosecuted. So let's have Josh Call prosecute him in this state. Number two, you haven't missed anything. The point I was making, if it goes up, Clarence Thomas, Alito, and the rest have been taking money. I know what they're going to do. They're going to try to go with Trump, and then we talk some more about what to do in terms of that. Bill, thanks for the call. Always a terrific call from you. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention, by the way, that was a great call, Bill, and your whole topic today is very educational for me, and I appreciate it. The fake electors in this state, they need to be prosecuted because they've set a template on how to overturn an election. And they need to be an example made here, Matt, absolutely positively. What Georgia's done, Michigan's done, is the right thing to do. And I'm sorry, you can't worry about your current elected position. It's more important to do the right thing. And Johnson on down, Fitzgerald, they all need to be held accountable for this because you're never going to change the mega's minds. But you're looking at the future here on what can and can't happen. And if you let this slide, I'm afraid you're on a slippery slope. And thanks again for your great callers.
Right. Thank you. Well, you're one of them, Paul. Thank you for calling. Let me just say this. I couldn't agree with you more. And with regard to the reason for not prosecuting, remember Fighting Bob La Follette. Fighting Bob La Follette took on all of the big interests in the late 19th, early 20th century. And everybody said, you're crazy. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. The funny thing is, when you do the right thing, you also win frequently. You win frequently. I think that if Josh prosecutes these people, he's going to take heat like Fannie Willis is and all that. But it's a Fighting Bob La Follette moment. And I think paradoxically, you help yourself politically. That's not the reason you do it. You do it because it's the right thing to do, the moral thing to do. If you play it safe, how many football games have you ever seen where some team has a lead going into the fourth quarter and they sit on it, they play it safe, and they end up losing? They end up losing. You got to go full bore. You got to go full bore. Josh's a good man, and I think that, you know, he wants to run for higher office, and God bless him, he's a good man. However, you don't do that by playing it safe. You have got to do the right moral thing, and that is prosecuting the fake electors, like Fannie Willis, like the AG in Michigan, and like Jack Smith. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 58. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 77. Mainly clear tomorrow night, 49. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me give you another reason why the fake electors have got to be charged now, including Ron Johnson. In the paper the last couple of days, Ron Johnson has come out. He has the guts to come out and call for Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court to step down from any case involving gerrymander. Now, that is boldness, that is chutzpah, that is guts. This is a guy, the longer you don't interfere with whatever he did with the fake electors, he is not going to like you. He's not going to support you. He's not going to go easy on you. He has the effrontery to come right out and say Janet Protasiewicz should step down. Now, let me tell you something. She won 55-45. Actually, I think it was almost 11 points, like 55.5 to 44.5, something like that. Took a lot of areas of the state. People want her. During the campaign, this fellow Kelly flat out said, I've looked at the maps, they're fine. I wouldn't do anything to change them. Janet Protasiewicz says, I've looked at the maps. I think they're rigged, but I will pay attention to any briefs that are filed, any complaints that's filed, and I will make an independent decision. I just want you to know my values. Ron Johnson did not criticize Kelly for saying the maps should be kept the way they were. Rebecca Grassl Bradley, remember there are two Bradleys in the Supreme Court. They're not related. Ann Walsh Bradley is the Democrat, but she's sort of an independent. She's very, very good. She calls them like she sees them. But then there is Rebecca Grassl Bradley, who voted not to certify Joe Biden to help the Republican Party. Ann Walsh Bradley didn't vote to help the Democratic Party, but Rebecca Grassl Bradley voted to help the Republican Party unconstitutionally, and fortunately by a 4-3 vote, because in those days there was a third Republican on the court, and Brian Hagedorn, who's also Republican, stood tall, read the Constitution, said, I'm going to vote to certify the candidate who won the election. And so Joe Biden got certified. Otherwise, it would have gone to the legislature conceivably. Pence, they would have gotten one vote. Wisconsin would have had to send its electors. They wouldn't have been fake electors. They would have been real electors then to Trump. That's how close we came. Now, Johnson is not calling for Rebecca Grassl Bradley to step down from the case. She's already said what she'd do. He hasn't said that Kelly was wrong, and if Kelly had gotten on, he should step down. He attacks Janet Protasiewicz. Now, Janet is not going to step down. She's a very strong judge. She's not going to get pushed around, and she's going to stay on the decision, as she should. But the larger point I want to make is this. The longer you hold off not prosecuting the fake electors and the people who conspired with them to set up the fake elector scheme, the longer you do that, you do not harvest gratitude. You do not harvest warm, fuzzy feelings. You do not harness support. You do not harness a wink, wink, well, we'll support you next time when you run for office. They feel contempt. They feel contempt. They immediately say things like this. Give you another example. Kevin McCarthy. Now, this is a guy that has probably the least character of anybody in the Congress. this guy doesn't care what he does, doesn't care what he says, if it gives him the speaker's gavel. He went, what, 15 ballots, and he promised the moon? Well, let me tell you something. He just said over the weekend he is likely to start impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden in September. Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who strengthened NATO, who put our alliance in the Pacific on stronger ground to stand up to China, who passed the CHIPS Act, hardcore infrastructure, soft infrastructure. Joe Biden. And why? Well, Hunter Biden. They don't like Hunter Biden, and so they want to sniff around, and they want to see more about Hunter Biden, so they'll use Joe Biden on an impeachment. But their sneakiness is catching up to them. Why do I say that? Because several moderate Republicans, not because they have a sense of morality, not because they have a sense of common decency, but because they are trembling, if they vote to impeach Joe Biden to take the heat off of Donald Trump and his 91 felony charges, there are six of them in New York. There are about four of them in California. In this state, you have people like Gallagher and Stile, who may say they're moderates. I don't think they are. At some point, if you are a Republican in a district that is not entirely in Alabama or Texas or Oklahoma, and you vote to, for the hell of it, impeach the president who's doing as good a job as Joe Biden, you're going to lose. I can tell you in New York and California, you're going to lose. And then McCarthy is going to lose his majority, and he won't be speaker. But if he doesn't say this, he's going to lose Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of them. So here's the sneaky thing they came up. He used Matt Gaetz, Trafficker Gaetz, like the guy whose wingman turned on him, and somehow he didn't get indicted down in Florida. Matt Gaetz says, well, they said, you don't have 218 votes, and he doesn't. They're afraid. Takes 218 votes. They have 223 votes in the Republican caucus, but they can't get 218 to do it. So he said, we've come up with a theory. It doesn't require a vote. We're just going to launch the impeachment investigation. And you're going to use our committees to subpoena people. He didn't say harass people. That's what he means. This is what they're doing. They are not even going to force their whole Republican caucus to vote on it. So right after Labor Day, stand by, they are going to say, we're investigating Joe Biden for impeachment. Well, what does that mean? The impeachment says it has to be by a majority vote of the Congress. Well, we're not going to do that. Well, oh, have you heard of the Constitution? We're not even going to have a majority vote of our caucus. They don't want it. This is the garbage that is going on. We're coming to the end of the show. Great, great callers as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
And I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.